Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, D'Amico Ryans, how did Nick Caley do in his debut as offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans in week one?
Nick did a good job, right, with the play calls. At the end of the day, we all have to just put ourselves in position where we can actually call the game, right? We're behind the sticks a lot, shot ourselves in the foot a lot where we were in second and long. And just third and long a lot, that's not a great place to be as the first time play calling your first game. So if we can play well together and stay on schedule, stay on track, then we can see how the game is called.
Okay, one more, Seth, before I want to get your thoughts on this, because it seems like they're giving Nick Caley a pass on week one. C.J. Stroud said something similar to D'Amico Ryan, said we got to help Kales out.
We got to help Kales out, man. I think that's my biggest thing personally. And I think for the guys is not giving – what play are you going to call on second and 15, second and 25? And we've had these problems for years, you know. So third and 14, third and 12, like you can't live in that. And we do our coach a discourtesy of that when that's controllable by us. So I think that's a start. Personally, I got to be better just – pocket movements and, you know, checking the ball down when I need to check it down. And at the same time, staying aggressive. So, yeah, I think we just need to build a rhythm early on better. And I think we'll be better from that.
The thing that, you know, I think I agree with everything CJ said there, obviously. But also, I think that when you've got two rookie receivers on the field, and Higgins was on the field a lot more than Jalen Noel, I'm going to give CJ a bit of a pass early on is that I think there were times where things weren't just exactly right with both Higgins and Noel. And without knowing exactly what their rules were in specific situations, I think that there were just times where, man, it looked like it should have gone to Noel, but the timing was probably a little bit off compared to Kirk. Or it looks like it could have gone to Higgins, but Higgins wasn't exactly where CJ wanted him to be, and that's when he takes a sack. So some of those things you expect, you just got to iron them out, and you're going to get it from rookie wide receivers. They don't get the precision that they need in the NFL yet. So a lot of that stuff, it would be a lot easier if the Texans were coming. If Bobby Slowick had been an awesome offensive coordinator last year and he was a head coach somewhere else and Nick Caley was now his replacement, it would be a lot easier to say, like, okay, well, look, these are hiccups and what have you. The problem is a lot of that, what we saw, looked like exactly what we got last year.
Yeah.
And it's harder to give that benefit of the doubt. But I'm consciously forcing myself to do that because the real difference between Nick Caley and Bobby Slowick needs to be, how does this young offensive coordinator improve over the course of the few weeks and iron out some of these issues that you saw in the first week?
Yeah.
That's the test right now.
And it can only be a few weeks. Like, this is, you know, the Texans, this is not a rebuilding season. This is not a growth season. This is not a developmental season. This is a season where you're spending a lot of money on guys and you're about to spend a whole lot more money on some other guys to go win a Super Bowl, to go get to the AFC Championship game at least. I mean, that is the stated goal from the head coach, is to take this team to new heights, to the AFC title game. He's openly said that. And so it can only be a few weeks that you're ironing these things out. You can't still be doing this in week 10. Not against this schedule, you can't be doing it. So C.J. Stroud was also asked about Nico Collins getting 5 targets in the game. I think it was Sarge who asked the question, hey, what's it like playing with a guy like Nico who, when he's not getting targeted, isn't demanding you to throw him the football? And CJ kind of almost corrected him a little bit on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, I like because Nico is that way, but also, like, he demands the ball. He wants the ball. And, you know, it's our job to find ways to get it to him. And I thought we could have, you know, definitely I could have done a better job of getting him the rock when he was open. And, yeah, I think he's going to show up big time. Every dog has his day, you know, and Nico's a growling at the mouth like a Rottweiler, trying to get that ball. And so I'm excited to see. And you know, I'm always looking for 12, man. That's never a question. So yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah, go over on Nico targets this week in your daily fantasy.
Look, and I think, and honestly, it's interesting because now that they have the iPads on the sideline or the tablets, the Microsoft Surface tablets on the sideline, I don't think you don't need the wide receiver yelling, you know, about how he should have gotten the ball or anything anymore, because they are looking at it and seeing exactly how it was. And Nico was open in that game. It's not like he was never open. There was a combination of circumstances, I think, where it just felt like every time he was open, there was pressure in the pocket or there was a blitz. And there was time where I think CJ had an unblocked blitz by design coming off the edge. Two running backs or two tight ends, both Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz, ran past the blitzing defensive back without really giving much of a jam on the way out. I don't know if they were supposed to or not, but CJ did what he should have done in that situation, or at least what he, you know, is very much what you want him to do, is he threw it to Dalton Schultz and got positive yardage out of a blitz and didn't get hit, all that. Nico was wide open on that. So the circumstances, it's not like CJ wasn't looking for him. CJ was making the smart decision on that one. There were another couple times where Nico was wide open, but the pressure got home. Mm-hmm. So it's, I felt better about Nico himself, and I didn't really want to criticize CJ for not finding him more often, because that's just kind of the way the cookie crumbled in that game. If the process is that they're also going to try to have a more diverse offense than just trying to get the ball to Nico Collins as much as possible, I like that part of the process. You just got to actually, you know, be successful with that
process. You got to score touchdowns. Yeah. You got to score points. And Nick Caserio said that when he was asked about the whole Nico dynamic in the offense when he was doing his hit with John and Mark this week. And he pointed that out. He's like, you know, we did have however many guys, you know, nine guys touch the ball on offense. And several of them were very productive plays. I think several of them were plays that we've been almost requesting of CJ this year, which is like, hey man, just take the quick stuff and don't worry, you know, try not to get hit so much, try not to hold the ball so much back there. So yeah, I mean, there were some good things, but yeah, you can't D'Amico said it himself, you can't finish with 9 points. Like they got into the red zone and cashed in twice. The Rams did. They scored two touchdowns. We got in the red zone once, didn't cash in at all, and kicked 3 field goals. There you go, 14-9.
And that's how Kaimi Fairbairn ends up in the circle of swarm.
Yes.
Kaimi's on the sideline counting up his circle of swarm appearances, and he's just like, oh, keep stalling out.
I am over. I'm so swarmy right now over here,
the
just chilling.
The sweet taste of this circle of swarm,
That's it. All right, let's, into the 8 o'clock hour we go. We'll get to 5 reasons I hate you for Tampa. At 8:20-ish, 8:20, 8:25. We'll do that in a couple of segments. We've got Take a Mania coming up at 9 o'clock. Let's circle back to the Astros here. It is getting dire. The margin for error is almost non-existent for the Astros right now after yesterday's debacle in Toronto. And you can tell what they're doing with the pitchers here as they're setting things up over the next couple of weeks. We'll get to that with the Astros as well coming up next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.